amazing. Give yourself a round of applause. And how does it feel to be homeowners finally, right? To be able to say this is yours, and what an amazing thing God is doing here at Mission Church. And as we turn the page to 2020, there's so many things that we look forward to, and we look forward to this church growing and you reaching the lost here in this town, and also just to grow in your faith in Christ day by day. And so I know Mike started a series last week called Perception Versus Reality, so I kind of figured I'd jump right into that same series because I just love your story, Tigray. Like, it just gives me a perspective that I so needed this morning. And it goes so well with what I'm talking about. Because I am in my own bubble so many times in my life that I can just see what's right in front of me. And I don't necessarily see the reality of what's really going on the face of this earth as Jesus Christ is continuing to be preached and his gospel is going out. And we get to be a small part of it. Just maybe sometimes we have to step out of our own perception and see the reality of it, that God is doing amazing things. Now we look at the country landscape and we go, what is going on? What is happening? Where is God? Yet the reality is he's been there, he's here, and he always will be. That's what's amazing about Jesus and our Father is he's always been. And so we sometimes have to get out of the matrix a little bit and kind of see what Jesus is really doing in our lives. And so I thought I'd start off by just telling you that perception sometimes creates a reality, especially when we're on social media way too much. And I think I'm guilty of it. I'm just kind of giving you a little pastor's confession. I'm guilty of creating a reality because of what I see. And I need to step outside of it and see what actually God is doing. And so think about this. Imagine you're waving your arms and trying to stop traffic just before a corner because you know the bridge is out. To the drivers, everything looks fine. They see you. They're like, it's fine. No problem. They see no reason to stop because they see no highway barricades. So their perception tells them nothing's wrong. To them, it's right in their own eyes to drive around the corner. And they do to their own hurt. Despite your warning, they didn't stop and suffer the consequences. Their perception didn't help them. What they saw didn't help them. And they missed the wise man's advice because they were too busy listening to what they thought was right. Too often, that's our story. We see the person waving and the wisdom, somebody's waving these arms and saying, hey, there's danger in that area. And we go, nah, I'm fine. I don't necessarily see that. We are in the era of fake news, right? It's crazy. That's my message. That's the title of my message. You're like, oh, we're going to get political? No, that's not what I'm here to do. I have no political bone in my body. I do vote. I do have respect for authority, and I do believe that we should pray for our president, of course. But regardless of where you stand with the president, this is a thing that has been on the forefront of media is fake news, right? He's coined that phrase and started pointing at people, saying, you're fake news, you're fake news. Regardless of where you stand, this man definitely points it out, especially on Twitter. Am I right? Anybody on Twitter follow Mr. President Donald Trump? It's amazing. It's great. It's fun. But it's hard to know in this day and age, especially if you're on social media or just in the news in general, whatever station you watch, it's so hard to know what truth is and what is fake. You have to spend so much time to research and wade through all the garbage and the rhetoric when all you want, literally all we want as a people, is a chance to decide. Right? to chance to get information so that we can decide for ourselves what is real and what is fake. It's exactly what the enemy, the devil, I don't know if you knew this, but you have an enemy, the devil, who is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is what he does to us every day. He gives us fake news, information that we think, we see, we perceive to be reality, and it's not the truth. Whether he does that audibly, visibly, or some other way, he diabolically invades our life with fake news. You probably hear this all the time sometimes. Maybe you're better than I am, and you don't have these voices that speak to you sometimes and say that you're not good enough, that you're broke financially or any other way physically, that we are not blessed, that nobody cares about me. It could go on and on and on as the enemy speaks lies into our lives. I love the song that we... Both those songs were just perfect for, I don't know if I gave you my notes before or whatever, but like it literally was about lies and how God is going through those lies, and there's no lie he won't tear down coming after me. And just amazing to see how even when the enemy is speaking these things over us, that Jesus still wants us to know the reality that he is still here. The perception is that the enemy is telling us these lies, and we're buying into these lies. We are sold lies we don't even see coming. For one, I know for myself, is that the lie that we must conform to this world's idea of living. However it may be, financially, spiritually, socially, all these things that the enemy is telling us, as we see around us, we have to conform to these standards that the world set in order for us to be joyful and be happy and to live a life of freedom. But we seem to buy this white picket fence idea that this is how it's supposed to be for all of us. And that's not the case. The problem is the perception of everything that we see creates our reality. And that's what happens, is we need to kind of step away from that and consider the source. So, if you take notes, I want you to remember this phrase. As we talk about the lies that the enemy says, and then the truth that Jesus speaks into our lives, is that we must consider the source. Fake news, consider the source. You know? If it's a website you've never seen before, it's probably not true, right? There's so many things that come on our feed that we're like, oh my gosh, that's so true. There's a fake news generator on the internet, and I went to it. I created my own fake news about corn crops, you know, causing certain things, and I passed it on to a friend of mine, and he was like, is this real? Are you serious? I'm like, did you even check the website that I sent it from? It says fakenewsgenerator.com, bro. Perception versus reality. Consider the source. Yeah, no, I don't know if I broke his trust or not, but I think I did. So that's probably the problem now. But we must consider the source as we hear things spoken to us in our lives. But we have to go to the source. That's the issue. Philippians 4:8, and this is the theme with Paul. He's speaking to his church that he planted, and 4:8 it says, I don't have it on the screen, but finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Oh my gosh, that's like kind of like a filter for what we put into our minds or what we allow into our hearts. This is the filter that Paul is speaking of, saying pure. Okay, let's put it up, throw it up against the wall, see if it sticks. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it pure? Commendable? Is there any excellence to what this is saying? in our mind as the enemy speaks to us. This beautiful verse is almost like saying, as a man thinks, so he is. Or as a woman thinks, so she is. If we fill our minds with things that are lovely, pure, honorable, then that's where our minds will be. Perception can seem like reality, but tell that to the people who thought the earth was once flat. And if you are a flat earther, hopefully I won't offend you, but their perception, it's actually growing in popularity right now. And I don't mean to laugh, but I'm like, dang, bro. Please talk to me afterwards, okay? We can have that discussion. Their perception to the naked eye was that if you went too far out in the ocean, you drop off the earth and into the abyss. Of course, their perception is wrong. See, now that we have new information, we can understand that that's not true, right? As we grow in knowledge and we grow in God's word, we have more information. We can reassess and reevaluate reality through the lens of Scripture. But Paul's admonition almost sounds like replacement therapy, where you put things that are in good context. It's not that. He's just trying to help us understand that the perception is not the reality of it. If you think on these things, if you go towards these things, not the negativity. If you hear the negativity and you hear all these things, yeah, I know I'm a person that gravitates towards bad news, because I used to be somewhat of a gossip, and sometimes that rears its ugly head in my life, and I love to hear things and I love to pass it on, and it just kind of feeds me, and I'm like, now I do see these things through this filter, and I go, okay, time out. Is it good? Is it honorable? Is it all these things that Paul is telling me to do? Okay, no, then I should probably just shut it down, right? Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. The same verse is found in Proverbs 16:25, where again, Solomon writes, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Why would Solomon repeat these things just two chapters later? Did he forget that he already wrote Proverbs 12? No, I think that something that's repeated in the Bible, and especially in Jewish literature, is always done so to put an emphasis on it. Okay, so Solomon, one of the wisest men of history, is telling us to remind ourselves that there is a way that seems right to us, but and it's the way of death. So it's our perception is, this is how it's supposed to be, but man, we must find out what the reality of this is, especially when it comes to Scripture. So, Solomon is stressing the fact that humans seem to know what's right, but later it blows up in their faces. Have you ever done that before? Where you think you know something, and then all of a sudden it turns on you because it's not true? Without seeking God's wisdom, which means we must first fear God, we'll never even be able to ask for. That's why we must seek wisdom and actively ask him for truth. And this is on a daily that we must seek his wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. When's the last time you actually said, God, can you just give me wisdom in this? Literally, just ask, like, Father in heaven, through Jesus' name, I need wisdom in this. Or do we just go, I'm just going to fly blindly and just do it? That's me, of course. I do that all the time. I'm just going to go and do it. But literally, sit down and ask God for wisdom. Because it says here, who gives generously to all without reproach. Meaning, I'm just going to lavish you with this wisdom without even stopping you from coming to the throne room because of Jesus. I'm going to let you come and just ask for wisdom. And I'm going to give you as much as you can perceive. And it'll create reality in your life because of the wisdom that will be given to you. I want to camp on this scripture just for the next few minutes, because I think we get mixed signals today on the meaning of blessed, hashtag blessed, rich, or highly favored. What that all means. We need to consider the source. Amen? Philippians 4:19. A lot of you have this scripture ahead of time, and we're reading on what Paul was talking about. And he says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Can I get an amen on that? Thank you, Lord. Perception for a lot of us may not be reality because we tend to focus on the here and now, like I said, right in front of us, but we often start looking at tomorrow before it even gets there and begin to worry ahead of time about those things that may not even come to pass. I know one of my sons is notorious for putting himself in anxiety when he doesn't even know how it actually will come to pass. Like some of the stuff that he has anxiety of, and I can admit I have that too, that some of the things that I worry about and stress about are not even going to come. And literally, I've seen things happen in my life that I go, why was I even worried about that? You ever told yourself that? Like, why was I even worried about that? The enemy loves to get you to camp on that. So, remember the scripture. What is pure? What is noble? What is all these things? I want you to consider that. Now, if we only believe what God's word promises, that he will supply every need of ours, and it comes out of the abundance of riches of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking about prosperity gospel. We're talking about the riches of Christ, his love, his grace in our lives, the pouring of his life into ours, the abundance of riches of Jesus Christ. Then we would not be anxious over things that we have no control over. Part of our anxiety is that we want to have control over those things that we see that might maybe come, but we want to be able to control the outcome. Philippians 4:19 describes how Christians can overcome worry and worldly desires regardless of their circumstances. So no matter where you're at right now, I want to encourage you. Philippians 4:19 is encouraging us to see the reality of it and not the perception. To see the big picture that Christ has poured out for all of them. This is Paul speaking to a church that he planted, and he's talking about how they are blessing him, and they're kind of a dual blessing for each other. By making a purposeful decision to be content, a believer can trust God to provide our true needs and not be consumed with materialism or anxiety. See, Paul has learned his skill through his many trials and ministry experiences. Let me repeat that, because I think it's important that you understand that Paul has learned this skill through his many trials and ministry experiences. It's through his trials and the things that he has gone through that he realizes the blessing of Christ and the provision of Christ in his life. And I'm here to say that, man, whatever you're going through, maybe you don't have control over it. You don't know how it's going to end. But I consider it, as Paul said, pure joy to face trials. Because what happens is we're going to learn a skill that wouldn't have been there if we didn't go through a trial. It's perspective, it's perception versus reality. Consider the source. Paul also thanks the Philippians for their generosity and expresses his confidence that God will bless them for it. Now, it's not a pour in a seed, reap a harvest type thing with finances. He's talking about being a part of something bigger than yourself, giving into something like Paul's ministry because you see the big picture of what's happening in his life and what Paul is preaching to. And the church is growing. It's not about giving a dollar here so I can pull out $10 later. He's saying, this is what I'm pouring, this is what you're pouring into. This is what you're growing in the kingdom. Same is said as Jesus talks about this in Matthew 26:26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In almost the same context as Philippians 4:19, Jesus tells us to look at all the creatures in nature and see how God even takes care of the birds of the air. Despite the fact that they neither reap nor sow or gather into barns, but God still ensures their physical needs are taken care of. Jesus puts it this way, aren't we more valuable than the sparrows of the air? Of course we are. So if God makes certain to provide for his creatures, why would he not provide for us? But you're thinking, bro, he doesn't have to go to work, hit a time card. He doesn't have four kids to pay. Those sparrows don't necessarily have to have a house, a mortgage they have to take care of. All these things that I have to deal with on a daily basis. That promissory note that is coming up for a balloon payment. Oh my gosh. He's definitely got you. He definitely is providing for you. It's perception versus reality. And so we need to consider the source. See, it's the simplicity of life, the simplicity of the gospel. I mean, I remember, just to kind of go back a little bit, I remember one time where, and I don't know if I said this before, but 2008, when the bubble burst and everybody was, you know, I mean, a lot of you are shaking your heads, yep, I know what you're talking about. I had lost my job. It was a fantastic job, making about $80,000 a year as a shop foreman, running a granite company in Big Fork, and we were just, it was fantastic, amazing stuff that was happening. And then everything just went done. And we're like, okay, so what are we going to do? So 2 years of unemployment, I was on unemployment, and it was decent until it finally ran out. And then you're thinking, oh, I could just go get a job down the street and do whatever. It's like, there's no jobs, nothing at all. And I was panicked. I was worried. I was anxious. And I was like, God, where are you? I've been faithful. I've been giving. I've been doing all that you've called me to do. And I'm serving in youth ministry. And why haven't you found me a job? And I remember specifically one time where my last unemployment check was $6.26. And I was like, this is funny. It was hysteria is what it was. It wasn't that it was like, yeah, this is funny. This is great. No, it was like, what am I going to do? But in that moment, at that time, I had read the scripture multiple times, reading through the Bible. But this one just stood out to me because we did eventually get SNAP, which I know a lot of you know what that is. It's just a monthly car that you can get food with. And I was like, oh my gosh, we are so blessed to have food coming from the government. I was so excited when I saw that we got this money for food from the government. It just blew me away. And I thought, there was a little bit of guilt because I'm like, oh, I'm getting welfare from the government but literally there's nothing I could do. It was out of my control. The perception was we are going to die. But it was amazing as we got together as a family and we literally said to each other, because I was, you know, when you see the captain of the boat just shaking, that's probably not a good sign, right? When you're on the boat. And you're fishing with somebody, and you look at the captain, and he's freaking out. It's not a good sign. So, in my prayer time, I was like, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to say to the troops, my family? What can I do to actually see the reality of it and go, okay, let's calm this down. Let's try to make this work." So I thought, okay, sat them together. We said, "It looks bad. It looks bad. We're we're behind on our house payments, like 6 months. We got the note, we're going to take your house. But we looked at all the things that were happening in our lives. Okay, we're like, all right, they can't take our house. It's the wintertime. They can't kick us out. Boom. Good. We have a roof over our head. Okay, we got this check that's coming in for food. Boom. We're fed. Oh, the heat. They can't turn off the heat in the wintertime. Fantastic. Boom. We're good. And so we sat there together and going, look how blessed we are. That even though we literally can't make things happen. Because I love that. I can make it happen. I will work my butt off to make something happen. But at this moment in time, that doesn't work. So now, as we sat there and we read the scripture together as a family, and we said, let's see what God does. Let's see what he does. Because I had to be a reminder to them, like, it doesn't matter how hard I work, nothing's coming in. It's not going to happen. So I looked at this scripture and I told the boys and my daughter, I said, so we're just going to do what we can and allow God to do whatever he wants to do. And we're going to trust him in that. So we considered the source. We went to scripture to know, because on the outside, I was not having it. It was like, we're not going to make this. So we need to consider the source. You need to consider the source. Whatever you're going through right now, consider the source. Is it fake news, or is it reality that the word is speaking to you? So the first one I want to talk about, there's a few points that I want to kind of hit on that I want you to kind of have a perspective change and a shift in your viewing, is number one, fake news is I'm broke. Because depending on where you're at, we're somewhat a level broke in our lives. But it's because we are broken. We are a broken people. The reason we feel broke is because we are broken. We yearn for more. That is our nature. Yet we try to fulfill our desires thinking that we need to be rich. That's me. I realized, like, as I was making this really good wage, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm doing so well. I'm putting stuff away and that's all dried up. And now, like, my perception of what it really truly means to be rich is different, because I came to him broken and said, you know what? I'm just going to trust you in this moment. I can't do anything. The reason why we are is because we're trying to fulfill this need that's always been in us. That we're broken, that we need a savior, that we need to trust in a God who supplies everything for us. But we need to be in the riches of the glory of Christ, his grace, that we trust him, that we see him. Yes, we may be financially broke, depending on who you talk to, right? I know that there's millionaires who feel like they're broke. You're like, no way. Yes way. Seriously. How many stories have you heard of lottery winners who were miserable, broken? Or how many stories of champions who have just won the World Series or the Super Bowl, and they look back in around the room and they go, was that it? Was that it? Yet you have people, you know, speaking of football, which is, we're in the thick of the playoffs, which is amazing. Seahawks are at 4:45, so I'll wrap this up soon. But you see, like, Nick Foles or Carson Wentz or these guys who are on the top of their game, top of their life, and their life could seemingly be broken around them, and yet they give Christ the credit and say, you know what? I'm not shaken. I'm just going to wake up and do the same thing I've done every day because I am in Christ, and any of these circumstances do not move me off of what God has called me to do. And the perspective is weird to people around us. The world is like, that is so weird. You should be broken up about losing a playoff game. And they're like, no, why? This isn't my identity. This isn't my reality. you just see you perceive that this is everything that I've. Yes, I've worked my butt off to be a professional athlete, to be a Super Bowl champion, but yet that's not all I am. And you hear them profess that, and you're going, come on, somebody. Yes, this is the perspective that I want, is that whether or not everything is falling apart around me, I look at Jesus and go, I am broken, I know, but I need you, and I trust in you. Augustine says this really well. He says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. And that is what's happening in our lives. Our reality is that we need to find rest in Him. Because on the outside, it is falling apart. So wherever you are financially, I understand. I've been there. A lot of us have been there. A lot of us have been in the mountaintops. A lot of us have been in the valley. But yet, if we keep our eyes on Jesus through it all, we will not be shaken. Number two, fake news that nobody cares. Nobody cares about me, right? Somebody should not have put these up here because I am like a fidget spinner. And I'm sitting here like fidgeting on these things. So I hope it's not distracting. But nobody cares versus he cares. Remember, I consider the source of where you're asking these questions or where the enemy is telling you these lies. You may feel like nobody cares, but time and time again in Scripture, hint, he leads us to the love he has for us. We are more valuable than sparrows. Yet we just can't wrap our mind around that. Yeah, you don't see the sparrow like putting on his boots and putting his time. I know it's a funny thing to see, but you don't see him like struggling to fill out his time card to go to the next job or whatever. Like he just goes and does his thing. We are more valuable than sparrows. I love this quote because he does care about you no matter what you're going through, what is happening in your life, how the reality or the perception of what's going on in your life is just crumbling around you. He repeatedly wants to wade through all the fog of the lies of the enemy and speak to you that he does care. Because we can look at our circumstances and go, where is God? Does he not care? He does care. Spurgeon says this, Charles Spurgeon, amazing man of God. He said, in prosperity, God is heard, and that is a blessing. But in adversity, God is seen, and that is a greater blessing. So as we are going through trials and going through the things that we're going through, I want you to look at the source. Remind yourself the source of it all, and listen to what Christ is saying, and not what the enemy or the circumstances is speaking to you in your life. Number three, and the last point, is that I'm blind versus now I see. The story in John 9:25 of the man being healed of blindness. He was blind since birth, and literally my Savior spits in some mud and slaps it on dude's eyes. I mean, how unconventional is this to heal somebody? So, anybody want to come up for healing? In the name of Jesus. Oh, sorry, that was nasty. But literally, like, come on up here. We're going to do some healing here in a moment. I'm going to spit and slap some mud in your eye. Here's mud in your eye, right? But it's amazing that this man was blind since birth. And I find it crazy how he was blind. But then all of a sudden, he's healed. And then these religious rulers come up to him and say, all right, so who's the person that healed you? And you know that this person is a sinner because he was healing on the Sabbath and not supposed to be healing you at this time. So he's probably demonic, or he's a witch, or whatever it may be. So they're kind of saying that Jesus shouldn't be doing this ministry on the Sabbath. But he does it anyways. But what happens is this man now sees, which is fantastic, and Jesus actually told him to go take a bath, which is good advice for all of us. Tells the religious rulers, like, I don't know about him sinning. I don't know about this man, but I was blind, but now I see. The religious rulers wanted to rebuke Jesus for healing him on the Sabbath, of course. The man is cast out. This man who had just got his healing was cast out because of his testimony. His testimony. He's telling these people, I was blind, now I see. Well, that what they're trying to do is cancel culture, literally. They're saying, no, we're canceling you out. This is not a real healing. What? Reality is he was healed, right? The perception for them was he wasn't healed because it's not a true healing because it was on the Sabbath. How could the Messiah or how could God heal on the Sabbath, right? That's not supposed to happen. But the reality is that he was healed. He was cast out because of his testimony of him being healed. And the amazing thing is as he comes back to Jesus, he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he? He didn't even know who healed him, right? Amazing. Sir, that I may believe. He wants to believe in this man who just healed him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. Consider the source, people, friends, family. Consider the source of who's speaking to you. You have all been given a miracle. Yes, the miracle for him was a healing, a physical, tangible healing. But also, the healing was that he had seen the Savior and believed in the Savior, and now salvation has come to his house. The miracle could be physical, could be financial, could be all these things that are tangible in your hand, but literally the healing, the miracle reality is in our lives, we have been given everything from Christ. He went to the cross for our sins. Don't let the enemy steal your miracle. Don't listen to this world. Continually tells us to consider his source. He is the source. To consider his word, because everything around us is going to continue to escalate if we continue to watch news or read news or watch Facebook. All these things are going to feed us the lies that everything is crumbling around us. It's not true. Jesus still is on the throne and he's doing his work in Polson, in Ethiopia, all over the face of this earth. And we just need to open our eyes to the reality of what he's doing versus what we think is happening in our lives. He is moving in our hearts. He's moving in and around our homes. He's showing us the true blessing of what it is to follow him is that we die to ourselves, die to this world, die to the things that are holding us captive, and then we consider the source and we follow Christ closely. If you're in Christ today, he is the source. Be like the healed man and see the reality. See the reality. Yes, you were physically healed, but you were healed for eternity. Amen. That you are healed and none of that chatter matter. Jesus considered it a privilege to suffer for your sake. For your sake. For my sake. For your sake. He considered it privilege. He considered it joy to suffer for us. He wants you to see him clearly and the blessings of what we have in Christ. Timothy Keller, one of my favorite pastors, he says, Jesus says, I want you to follow me so fully, so intensely, so enduringly that all other attachments in your life look weak by comparison. Have you made that your commitment this year? Maybe that you would consider that this year, that you would consider the source and you would follow him so closely, so intently, that you would ask for wisdom on the daily. My conclusion is that one great way to change our perception, which might not be reality anyways, is to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. You want wisdom? You want to consider wisdom? Dive into Scripture. Whether you understand it or not, I've read the Bible 4 or 5 times over, and there was many times where I was like, I have no idea what this means. But yet, as I grow closer to Christ and I grow closer to my rabbi, I start seeing things more clearly. That's what happens when we dive into Scriptures. We start seeing things more clearly as we mature in him and we see him as things start to come into focus in the Scripture. That can change our human perception to a godly perspective. The Word of God has real, effectual power while our perceptions do not. I like what the book of Acts says in 17:11. This is probably why it's so important for us to read Scripture. It says, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. Eagerness. Your flesh is telling you not to read Scripture every morning. Your body, you're like, I really don't want to read Scripture. But these people in Thessalonica, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but they received the word with eagerness, that they would be eager, because you know why? Because they read it knowing that eventually they would get it. It would become more clearly. They would examine the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Oh, this is so good. They would examine the Scriptures to see if those things were so. So I'm telling you today, examine the Scriptures to find out what I'm saying is true or not. That our reality will come into focus because of your examining the Scriptures and testing the Scriptures and looking at God's Word, because we need a reality check today more than ever. The perception was changed forever, and so were their souls, because they began to see the mind of God as revealed in Scripture. And the more you're exposed to the Word of God, the more the Word of God changes your perception. And always for the better. I've never walked away from Scripture and said, well, that sucked. I've never done that. I honestly, maybe I was confused. Maybe I didn't understand it, but I was like, I'm more intrigued than I ever was before, because I don't understand this. I want to know the heart and the mind of God. I want to see the reality of my life in Christ, not in this world, not what the world speaks to me. So may you, as you leave today, have the heart and the eagerness to examine the Scriptures, to daily seek wisdom from our Lord and Savior, from our Father, who gives it to us freely. That he says, come, I will give it to you. I won't hold it back. I won't hold wisdom back from you. Just ask for it and I will give it to you. And then we would be a people who would not be shaken about our physical, financial, the perceptions that we see, the things that are shaking us in our lives, that we would stay on track to see Christ more clearly in the new year, in this new year, that we would examine the reality of our lives through the lens of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Paul speaking to us in this Scripture, and that we would understand that your reality is what we're after, what we're wanting to find, and your scriptures is going to be clear to us. May we wade through all the garbage in this life and focus on you. May we walk out of these doors more challenged to seek the scriptures like the ones in Thessalonica, that we would be eager to read your word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.